I'd like to welcome Michael Samus here to WMOT. And Michael has just released a brand new compact disc that's being distributed by our friends up the road in Franklin through Naxos. And has released a piece that's extremely unknown. But before we get to that, Michael, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. What brought you to Nashville to start with?
Actually, about 15 years ago, I moved here right after I graduated from my undergrad to join the Nashville Symphony.
And you graduated from?
The Cleveland Institute of Music. So it was the job which brought me here that I'm very grateful for. I started under the great Kenneth Skirmerhorn, so I've been here through the whole transition of this amazing orchestra through the building of a magnificent concert hall and to our present maestro, and it's been a great journey.
Fairly remarkable. When I was lucky enough, actually, I used to live in Wisconsin. We got to hear and see his work with the Milwaukee Symphony before he moved, I guess, to Hong Kong and then came here. I forget which, but anyway, part of that. And so you said, are you presently with Nashville, or who are you performing with at this point, besides on your own?
I actually stepped down from the Nashville Symphony at the end of last season after a great 15 years. It was a wonderful start to my career, and I'm going to be doing solo and freelance pretty much exclusively.
Now, this compact disc, is this the first disc that you've released on your own?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
And how did, I know there's a story behind the Rheinecke, how did you find it, first of all, and is this a first release, first recording of it anyway?
It is the only available recording of the Rheinecke. And how I found it is actually a good question and an interesting story. When Delos approached me to make a recording, one of the stipulations was that it needs to be a piece that's, you know, relatively unknown or at least not recorded very much. So I wanted to find something from the Romantic era because I feel like that's where my voice is musically. And I found this blog online called Unsung Composers. I don't know how I found it, but I did. The wonders of Google. And there was a thread, and someone had posted saying there really should be a professional recording of the Rheinecke Cello Concerto. And I said, I had heard of Rheinecke as a romantic, just a couple of chamber music pieces. I'd never played anything. And so, thankfully, I was able to find the piece on what's called IMSLP, which is an online library of sheet music that's in the public domain. In other words, the composer's been dead for at least 100 years. And you can just download a lot of music on there. And including this, I found for a cello and piano reduction. So I found my great friend and pianist, Leah Bose, and we got together and read just a few themes from the piece. I had gone up to my studio on my own to play a few lines and said, you know, I heard that opening phrase, and I was like, okay, we need to explore this further. And so when I sat down with Leah, and we heard some of these haunting harmonies and beautiful themes, I thought, well, we have a lost gem here. You know, we've got to explore this further. And of course, with some of the technical challenges, it was impossible to just read straight through it, but it was enough to know this was worth exploring.
And how did you hook up with John for the recording?
Well, I knew John's work, I think, through the Nashville Symphony, right?
Right.
And also just some projects here and there. His incredible ability to blend sound and make recordings sound, and you know, incredible, make us as artists sound our best possible. And so we work together to bring this back to life.
It seems like Nashville's kind of a small music club because, you know, we were both at the Nashville Symphony over a similar time period, and then we both have a friend, Kevin Edelin, who was co-engineer on this project as well. And Kevin had worked with Michael, I think, on a few
individual projects,
too.
Yeah, Kevin had done my EP, which is, and also some of my, just a few tracks here and there. So, and I think it was that way.
Okay. And then how did you also, once you'd gotten this, Delos came to you to ask about this, or how did you make the connection with Delos for the record?
Someone with the label had also plays the bass.
Okay.
Her name is Kira Bielfield, and she plays the bass in the Nashville Philharmonic Orchestra.
Okay.
Which is a great group in town. It is a community orchestra, and I think this is going back 4 years or so, 3-4 years by now. I played a concerto with them, and she was in the orchestra and said, you know, would you like to make a recording?
Oh, wow. Wow. And then how did you select the Gateway group as your accompanying ensemble?
Well, speaking of Jim, the Gateway Chamber Orchestra is truly a gem in our Middle Tennessee area. I have had the fortune of playing as co-principal cellist with the Gateway Chamber Orchestra since probably about 2009 or 2010, working with Greg Walneck, who has the ability to just pull together great programs and conduct them with the highest level of artistry. And I've really enjoyed the spirit in this ensemble. And it's interesting, a chamber orchestra, how that having such a small number of people just brings a different spin to the music. You know, it's very intimate. You can, you know, if you're the third cellist, you can see the fourth or fifth violinist, and they're not far away. So you can really communicate a lot.
What kind of challenges, John, did you find in recording, finding a venue and then putting together this recording?
Well, I think when Greg and Gateway came along, with Greg came Austin P.
Okay.
And for music listeners in the area who have been there, you probably know that it's a really nice sounding room that they have up there. And so we were very fortunate that was kind of already their home base. So we were able to go up there and record, and it was just really a joy to work there. It's a wonderful sounding room, very quiet, which is one of the things that you want when you're looking at a church or a big space. And, you know, as Michael was saying, when you put a chamber orchestra like GCO in there, it just sounds great. So interestingly, the challenges were fewer in that regard than some of the other recordings that I've worked on in the area, where you go into rooms that, you know, sometimes they're not purpose-built, or it's a church, and it was never intended, you know, to support a recording.
Kind of like the King Singers project you did long ago.
There you go. And churches sound great. They have a wonderful reverb and ambience to them. But, of course, they weren't designed for recording, so a lot of times, you know, they don't have the infrastructure, whereas this room, I think, when they designed it and built it, they had in mind that they were going to perform chamber-style music. It's not really intended. You know, you don't think you would do Rite of Spring in it, but anything that's a chamber size in that room, anything in that room sounds really good.
Yeah, I would agree. Every time I've played in there, the potential for, especially as a string player, the potential for different colors and nuance to the sound is really remarkable.